Hi everybody, it's Emily here from the Willow Pod, and today I'm talking to Rena. Hi Rena.
Hi.
So you're here from Sale Derbyshire, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
What does Sale stand for?
So it's Sexual Abuse and Incest Line, which is what we originally set the charity up as back in 1992. But I'm here to let you know a little bit more about us, because we've grown so much since then, and there's so much more that we offer and deliver to clients right across Derbyshire, including Derby City.
Oh, wow. I didn't realise that you'd been going that long. That's such a long time. So what do you do then?
Okay, so there's predominantly three sort of strands to the support that we deliver. It's important to first note that we deliver support to people over the age of 18.
Yeah.
And that's for anybody that has experienced sexual abuse, assault, whether that's historically or currently. So we have a helpline, we have a counselling service, and we also have an ISVA service as well.
Right.
And I can go into them a little bit more for you if you want.
Well, we have had a couple of podcasts about ISVAs and IDVAs and CHISVAs.
So, brilliant.
So I think we've got that one down, but the helpline and the counselling service. So how does someone access the counselling service?
So they can refer into us by way of self-referral. Sometimes that's most appreciated, because it will give us the impression or the idea that somebody is ready for that type of support, which is what you'll probably find with a number of services. We also take internal referrals as well. So somebody might be on our ISVA service and we've established professionally and with the client's consent that it might be therapy that they want to also pursue alongside the ISVA service, which is fine. And then they can also contact our helpline as well by way of self-referral. And then our helpline worker will take details and then they'll be contacted for a further assessment. Or we take professional referrals as well. So predominantly from GP surgeries and mental health teams for the counselling service. So there's a number of ways that people can refer in. Sometimes people find it difficult to do that as a self-referral, and we appreciate that. As I said earlier, it is looked at maybe more favourably, but it doesn't mean that if somebody's referred in otherwise that we don't take that referral. It's a number of ways that they can reach out and access our support, really.
Sexual abuse and incest. Surely incest doesn't happen a lot, does it?
Unfortunately, it does. And we see that a lot across the services that we deliver. But also, having been in the sector for a while, it's something that I've recognised as being unfortunately quite high in terms of the referrals that come through. So there are a number of ways that somebody would experience sexual abuse and assault, and that might be through incest. Generally, the victim does know the perpetrator. It's very unusual to have, for example, a stranger rape or stranger assault. So yeah, more often than not, it is somebody that person knows and would potentially be more so a family member.
That's just awful. It's one of those things that you think, well, that doesn't happen around here.
Yeah, and I guess that's a huge reason why we go out and do the awareness sessions that we do. So we liaise with lots of other partners and also the Community Safety Unit at Derbyshire County Council, where we co-deliver a webinar on Let's Talk About Sexual Abuse with SV2 as well.
Right.
And in that we talk about sexual abuse, we cover topics such as what the law states, so we look at the sort of terminology behind it and the definitions, signs and indicators for professionals to look out for, support that's available, taking disclosures. So I think it's really key that we do have, a lot of people may have that opinion that it doesn't happen. And it's almost like this secret thing that takes place. And unfortunately, that is what is drilled into victims and survivors, that it's a secret. And there's a lot of blame and shame attached to that. So it's important that as agencies and professionals, we are out there raising awareness as much as possible to let organisations and members of the public know that this is a topic and this does happen. Unfortunately, in homes, places of work, etc. But there is support out there available to victims and survivors. And as we were talking about earlier on, the counselling service that we offer, that's a programme that we deliver, or counsellors should I say deliver, and it lasts for 6 months and usually happens on a weekly basis. So once a week, a client will attend a counselling session. That can be done remotely or in person. Our offices are in Chesterfield, but we're quite flexible in terms of our approach to meeting the needs of clients. So that's where this sort of remote option comes in as well. And then it doesn't necessarily mean after the 6 months that it's a closed book, because it's quite fluid in terms of somebody's recovery journey. We would then most likely complete an assessment on whether there is need for an extension of that. And of course, that would be with the client's involvement and permission. Or it might be that client feels that they're happy with what they've received, but it could mean that a month or 3 months later, they might want to return to that, and then they're assessed and potentially placed back on a waiting list, so that there is a bit of time in between those counselling programmes, if you like, for clients to really sort of engage with what they've experienced and use those coping mechanisms and skills that we've hopefully equipped them with in their first round of counselling. But what I love about SAIL is it's quite an open service, almost like a rolling door, if you like, that,
yeah,
you know, it's all about when that client is ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we find that also on the ISPA service as well, that there are some clients that might disengage for whatever reason, but it doesn't mean that the service is closed. They can absolutely come back in when they feel is appropriate to them.
We've had a couple of podcasts with Lorna from SV2, and it sounds like with yourselves and SV2, we've really got a very comprehensive service throughout Derbyshire. It's really good to hear that.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot that's on offer, but I also think that there's more that we can do, which is, again, why we do the training, the awareness, attend the events, just ensure that we reach as many people as possible, you know, on an individual basis from SAIL, but also collaboratively with the likes of SV2 and any other service as well. It really is quite a multi-agency approach that we offer across the county, and important for clients to know that.
Yeah, well, hopefully anybody listening to this podcast will find out how to get in touch with you. We'll put all the information about your service, how to contact you, how to refer themselves in. We'll put that in the information that accompanies the podcast. And I'd better get myself booked on one of your training courses then.
Yeah, please do. I mean, we have attendance on there from a range of agencies, including social care, the police, NHS teams. It's really great to see, as we've talked about, that sort of multi-agency approach, that we have a number of professionals in the room at that time. And most often, people will stay behind after the session to find out a little bit more about what we offer and what we can do. And sometimes talk about, within confidentiality, particular clients that they might have and how they feel they would benefit from the service. So it really is more than a training exercise. It's that communication as well that takes place that is so important. I think the other thing to mention alongside the sort of counselling that we do at SAIL is to talk about the other services that we have around drama therapy, group therapy, peer support groups and group therapy as well. Just to let people know that we are quite variable in terms of the therapeutic offer that we have. And by ringing our helpline, we can definitely explain that in more detail to people on what's on offer. People have options. There is a lot of option. And I think that's important for clients that are reaching out potentially for the first time ever to find out what is available to them.
Yeah.
And one of the things I know we've probably heard a lot about is ISVA services and IDVA services, and I'm pretty sure this would have been mentioned before, but everywhere that I go, I think it's important to note that if somebody has experienced sexual abuse or assault, whether that's historically or currently, they do not have to have reported that to the police to get the support that's on offer. Sometimes there's a bit of confusion or myths around that. And I think it's really, really important to stress that that's not needed. We can absolutely, as from an ISVA point of view, provide somebody with their options if they're concerned and worried about going to the police. We give them a full package of support on what to expect and making sure that people have that sort of guided information about reporting to the police. But there's no obligation for them to then go on to do so, and neither is there any obligation for them to have reported to get that support.
Thanks for reminding us of that. Yes, I mean, we have heard that, but it's always good to remind someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes police isn't the right route for everyone, is it?
No, definitely. People are quite fearful in terms of, particularly the clients that we've supported, and as I say, being in the sector for a while, it is fearful. It's the unknown, and people are quite scared about doing that. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for my family, my job? You know, there's lots and lots and lots that a survivor would need to consider with that, which is why we kind of work through that with somebody. And also build strong relationships with the police as well, so that should somebody report later on down the line, or if they have reported, it's important to note that we work independently from the police, but we also have professional working relationships with them.
Yeah, for anyone who's been on the training that I deliver, they'll know that my dad was a policeman, so I don't find the police terribly scary.
Sure.
But I know a lot of people do. You've said that you've been in the sector for quite a while. How long have you been in this area of work?
Well, I came into it in 2020, so yes, not quite a while, but for some time. I took a little bit of a break and then I came back to sale. So it's been a couple of years that I've been in the sexual abuse arena, if you like, but I've been in support work for around 21 years.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And throughout that sort of career journey, have also been safeguarding leads for a number of organisations, and fortunately or unfortunately have come across sexual abuse, assault, etc. as a safeguarding lead, and it's been something that's been quite prevalent throughout. Specifically working in this sector, it's been sort of three years.
Yeah. You've just made me think it might be nice for a podcast on staff burnout, because I imagine in your field particularly that there might be quite a high burnout rate for staff members.
Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere else that you would talk to that would disagree with that, Emily. I think because of the nature of what we are supporting with, the high demand for that type of support as well, and the recognition that although we are professionals, we're human beings as well. And it's so important, whether you're in a sort of support worker role, ISVA role, counselling role, that self-care is there to be able to fuel yourself to then go on to support others. And as organisations, it's important that we do have sort of wellbeing strategies to ensure that our staff feel that they are thought of, cared about, looked after, and that they also take some accountability as well in terms of accessing any resource or support.
Yeah,
burnout is definitely there at times.
Yeah, I might look at doing a few podcasts on wellness or something that make a change from the podcasts I've been doing, make a nice change.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Rena. As I said, I'll make sure we've got all the contact details in the information that comes along with the podcast, so that anybody who wants to can get in contact with you.
Incredible. Thanks so much for your time, Emily.
No, thank you. We'll speak to you again soon.
Lovely. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.